Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you find yourself in the world. I am on the East Coast of the United States, and my husband is in Finland as he booked a spontaneous trip to surprise his family over there. And it's been a really insightful couple of days where I've been really able to take the break from my quote-unquote normal life and kind of have a little mini retreat at my home. I'm so grateful for, you know, YouTube and podcasts and all the free resources that we have and ways that we can connect across culture, across gender, across time, and share things that are helpful with one another. I think that's one of the most miraculous things about living in this day and age with the technology we have. But without further ado, what really has occurred to me is that it's time to share what happened with my husband last year in the sense of the doctor said that he almost died or that he could have died. And that was something that neither of us expected because he's even younger than me and he's very fit and takes care of himself. So I want to share what that process was like and how that prepared us and prepared me to continue to weather the storms of what would remain for our family unit in 2022. So again, my husband is originally from Finland. We do our best to spend good amounts of time over there. We have a wonderful community of family and friends there. And so it was in February of 2022 where we were planning on visiting for a few months. And we were scheduled to fly to Finland via Germany on a Sunday. That Thursday is when we got the news that Russia had invaded Ukraine. Now, that was alarming for many reasons, and it was sad for many reasons. On a personal note, it was really scary for us because there was this fear of the unknown if this conflict escalates to include more parts of Europe. What does that mean? Because in Finland, there is still conscription. And my husband, his name is Emme, and pretty much almost every male person that we know would be called to serve in the armed forces, in the military, if there is ever a conflict or war. Also, the nurses would also be called to serve. And again, I'm sure many females and women would also pick up arms and do their best to support their country. And so that's frightening as a thought, because that's pretty much everybody that we know and love in Finland. And it was a very paralyzing, overwhelming thought to think about. When Russia first invaded Ukraine, that first day, my husband and I were definitely living in our imagination. We were living in the what-if scenario as if that was already happening, which I think us human beings tend to do, right? If we were really great at being present, there wouldn't be so many spiritual teachers throughout the millennia, right? Our mind is, or rather the brain is very complex, and it likes to try to protect us by imagining future scenarios. And so we definitely got very caught up in that. Of course, there was also the added anxiety that there was so much uncertainty and we were going to be flying through Europe. So, and again, with our dog, so that can be really challenging. He's too big to be in the cabin. So he also has to get unloaded in the cargo hold and would be, transferred through Germany and into Finland. So that's already a stressful situation for us. So the uncertainty of conflict in Europe, it just was very paralyzing. And we were very fearful. And one thing my husband kept saying is, I don't think we should fly to Finland right now. I don't want to fly to Finland. And that's a really weird thing for him to say because he's very close with his family and friends and he's a very proud Finn. And he just kept repeating that. So after a couple nights of anxious discussion, after sleeping on it, it just occurred, common sense says, let's just postpone the flight for a week. Let's just see what's going to go on. It was so new with what was happening geopolitically in Europe and also the U.S.'s involvement. Everything was really up in the air. We could say it still is to an extent, but But I think we're more immune to things the more, unfortunately, we hear about them, or the longer things go on. We have this ability to adjust to these quote-unquote, you know, new normals. And anyways, that's neither here nor there. So we decided, okay, we're just gonna postpone. Like, that is the most common sense thing to do. Now, that was a difficult conversation for my husband to have with his loved ones, because of course they were really disappointed. You know, they were disappointed. It got their hopes up. You know, and we all do have a different experience of the world and what happens. And so you had this kind of fear on many levels, then also this kind of guilt for disappointing loved ones. It was just kind of this smorgasbord, as they say, this big mix of these very powerful emotions. So anyways, we ended up kind of sticking with Emma's gut, and we just ended up postponing. And we ended up going to a brewery on that Sunday with my aunt and uncle. And there's a picture where I'm just like smiling the widest smile ever, because I was so relieved to not have to rush into a decision where there was so much uncertainty. So Sunday was lovely. On Monday, my husband started to complain a little bit about having some mild stomach pain. You know, I consulted Google, so I did my best bit of Google doctoring, and, you know, I'm trying to figure out what it could be, and we're like pressing his stomach and moving his legs in ways they say to like check for appendicitis and all these kind of things. So, I asked him, you know, what's your like pain scale? And it was like negligible. I'm like, okay. So Tuesday comes around, he has a little bit of a low-grade fever, still having a little bit of discomfort. His pain scale, he said, is, again, very, very small. I'm like, okay. Wednesday comes along. And now the pain's getting a little bit worse. Again, he's kind of got that low-grade fever. We end up going to a walk-in clinic. And the doctor presses his stomach in the area where the appendix is. And Emma is not shrieking out in pain. At this point, he tells me on a scale of 1 to 10, his pain is a 4. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess it can't be that serious. The doctor says, you know, doesn't seem like anything here. Of course, we can get blood work done, you know, if you want to. So we end up going home. Thursday comes around and it's much worse now. It's not going away. Finally, we kind of bite the bullet, as they say. And I'm like, okay, it's time to go to the ER. So we go to the emergency room. The doctors confirm that Emma has appendicitis. At first, they were going to remove the appendix that night laparoscopically, so that's a lot less invasive of a procedure. But then they settle on giving him antibiotics to see if they can, again, kind of shrink the infection. Okay, I go home on Thursday night. I'm like, okay, appendixes burst sometimes and they have to be removed. And I'm just trying to, you know, keep calm and not really take seriously any fearful thoughts of the future that could occur, that if something, you know, is seriously wrong with Emma and something really bad happens. So I visit him on Friday and spend as much time with him as possible. He definitely is not doing well. That's really clear. But there is a very sharp decline when I see him on Saturday. He goes from joking around in the beginning of the 4 hours of the visitation and being able to walk a little bit, move a little bit. And by the time that I left the hospital that evening, he couldn't move. He was really in pain. Even really strong pain medications like morphine were not touching the level of pain he had. Now, that was a very worrisome state for me to leave the hospital in, to leave him in. So I came home and, you know, ended up throughout this process, you know, utilizing my support system, speaking with some good friends. My parents were actually away. They were down in Florida, so they weren't nearby. Only my brother was here. I was chatting with him a little bit. And then it was really clear to me that it was important to take care of myself and my own mental health in that moment. So I would kind of, you know, do these things they tell you to do about taking like a long bath. But more importantly, I ended up watching 2 YouTube videos from a monk that really helped me deal with this fear of losing my husband and fear of illness and, I guess, ultimately fear of death in a lot of ways. So I was really again, grateful for that technology. I will post those. I find that there's a lot of wisdom in those too. I'm going to post them in the next episode, so you'll be able to hear what I was listening to try to calm me down at that time. And for all intents and purposes, it did work. Of course, there was still a little bit of worry, but there was a deeper sense of just trusting and relying on what I've come to know is our innate resilience. That when we're not imagining worst case scenarios of the future, and we really are just taking things moment by moment, we're also not dragging past experiences into the present moment. There is a peace that resides there, which is why spiritual teachers throughout the ages talk about being present and being in the now. And that's why I think meditation has become so popular. And everything that I've taken the time to investigate myself, everything that has resonated with me personally, things like the three principles in Muji and Eckhart Tolle, and even Ajahn Brahm of the Buddhist Society of Western Australia has some good material. I think they all support to boil down to a core understanding of self and resilience and going beyond just coping with this life, because there is so much uncertainty in this life and we can't control it the way we like to think we can. And the fact of the matter is, illness is a reality. Death is a reality. We're all destined for that outcome. How can we learn to let go of the fear of dying so that we're not fearing our living? These may sound like very deep, profound questions, but from my perspective, these are some of the most important questions and explorations we can do, so far beyond our careers or how we look or our physical like toneness, right? Because those things all change and move. What is it about our experience that doesn't change? There's very few things about life that don't change. Our personalities can also change. So even who we think we are evolves, you know? Are you the same person? Do you describe yourself the same way you did when you were 8 years old as you do now? You know? Anyway. So they ended up doing an emergency surgery on my husband that next day. And the doctor basically came in after the operation and said to him that if you would have flown on Sunday, because obviously this infection was already in process on Sunday, the doctor basically said that there's a high chance that it would have been fatal. When I recall this experience and seeing how strongly my husband said he did not want to go to Finland, with greater knowledge, intellectually, now it makes sense why his gut reaction was so strong to not travel at that time. We had no idea that he wasn't feeling well. He had no symptoms on Sunday. No symptoms. With the pressure of the airplane and with how long of a journey that could have been, or that journey is, it really could have ended very differently. So I can only be grateful that Emma listened to himself, and it only has confirmed for me how important it is to listen to our own gut reactions, our own wisdom. Often, like in my experience, when I've had a really strong gut feeling, intellectually, it usually makes no sense. Like when I decided to not go to medical school after being accepted, like that made no sense. And yet that decision set the foundation for all the absolutely incredible things I've done and experienced since that time. So I think the real core message of today's podcast is You probably, if you live in a society with other people and don't live under a rock, you probably get a lot of opinions from other people and from your larger society of how you should live, what you should or shouldn't do, what is or isn't acceptable. But if there's something really strong or not even strong, if something just seems like it's common sense to you, I really encourage you to just follow that and see where that road brings you. I heard something last night that really resonated with me. I think it was watching a little talk by Anita Morjani, who basically died and came back to life. She has an incredible story if you ever want to look that up. But she said, life is a gift. Most people act or go through life as if it's a chore, but life is a gift. And that really struck me because, as I alluded to, 2022, it wasn't just my husband that got really sick. We had family members on both sides of our family that got sick. We have had losses. We have had people pass away on both sides of the family and family friends, all within a pretty short period of time. And, you know, I'm not saying that to get sympathy. I'm saying it because it's a fact of life, right? Like, our situation is not unique by any means. All of us are going to experience loved ones with illnesses, right? We're going to experience loved ones coming down with physical illnesses, maybe even mental illnesses. And all of us ultimately are destined for the ultimate end stop. We're all going to pass away, every one of us. And yet we act like we're not. I think sometimes we really take things for granted and we aren't grateful for the things that are right in life. And so we get sucked in, our attentions get sucked in by what other people want to tell us, whether it's media, whether it's, you got a friend that's always kind of complaining about something, right? If we don't take back our own power and put our attention on the things that are right in life, what we're grateful for, we just end up living more of the time in not as nice feelings as we could. It's like really that simple. It can be that simple, even when the circumstances are really challenging. So that's all I have for today. The next episodes, I'm going to share with you what I was listening to that really helped me during the time that there was so much uncertainty with Emmett in the hospital. They did a really major surgery on him, actually. And they removed like intestines, and the appendix was like really oddly shaped. And so they wanted to test it for cancer, which is quite a fear that my husband has. I think it's a fear many of us have because there's so much awareness on cancer. But can we put awareness on health? Can we put awareness on positive stories? Can we put awareness on people that like defy the odds? Because they're out there. We just don't have access to those stories as often, or we think, oh, well, that's just, you know, very unlikely. But I think if we really investigated and really shared stories of transformation and what humans are really capable of, I think that would change our mind. It's really just a problem or an issue of being exposed to so much negativity versus looking for what's the potential and what's really there. And I used to share, and I really should start this up again, I used to share at the end of all these episodes in Amy's real story to try to do my part to show that resilience is there. Change, positive change is possible. Overcoming difficulties is possible.